And welcome back. No more leadership BS. We've got some of the best minds on this particular podcast where you give you the best insights. We've got a bunch of Jeffs, and so we're going to reintroduce ourselves. We got Geoff, who is in the bitter cold presently. Myra, who is on her side gig, a TV repair person. Conroy, who looks like he's going to be heading outside to take a tumble in the snow with a snowman. He's gone with a stocking cap and sweatshirt.
I'm tumbling.
That's our leader and fearless pilot, Mr. Dyer, who is bestowed with the flight machinery in his background. And I'm Dr. Sam, and I'm just a guy in a sweatshirt. So what we're going to do today is talk about regrets. And we look back on the year. We always start off the new calendar year with New Year's resolutions, and let's go to this thing with our eyes wide open, and let's do some really cool stuff. And then see, today is on recording date, way through the month-ish. So most resolutions by now, I think, have already figured out. So that resolution is now a good idea you once had. So what can you do with that information? Our time keeps on ticking. And when we try to lead ourselves or lead our teams, we have always the best intentions and never try to do anything incorrectly. Like we were teasing about that in the green room. Nobody goes to work and says, how can I screw up today? We want to get things done and do it right. It doesn't always go that way. So in reading the book, The Power of Regret, Dan Pink mentions the idea of not New Year's resolutions, but old year's regrets. It's only three things from the last year that you didn't like, didn't go the way you thought, that you wish you could change, and then addressing it. So we're going to take a walk down that path today, just a little bit. And we're going to expand the timeline, not last year, but ever. So we can just tell very, very broad stories and not name names and show pics to prove we were there. So I'm going to ask the team, looking back in your leadership experience, what's an example of a situation that you later regretted? Whether it was, well, never mind the context. What was a situation that, looking back, you regret? Yes, in the back, the yellow jacket. Geoff, please.
Okay. In my varied career, working with well over a million people in doing facilitation, I worked with a group. And in my early career, as I'm learning my chops, I'm really earning my chops. I'm actually working with groups on a near daily basis. And I was working with a group of middle school students, young leaders. And I had kids that were just, they were pushing back on everything. And they were just turds. I'm just going to say it. They were turds. They just didn't do anything. Everything I tried to get them to do was like, it was all work. There was no play. There was no fun. It was just miserable. And finally, we did an exercise and we have these kids like cross line after asking questions. And I always wanted to ask a question where I thought everybody would cross the line. And I asked, hey, if you would cross the line, if you wish your school was a really cool, happy, fun place. And I thought, okay, everybody, why wouldn't anybody want school to be a happy, fun place, right? Everybody crosses except for these three students who have been just a pain in the butt the whole time. And I'm standing out in the middle and I've got my friend who's training me and was working with me at the time. And I say, all right, everybody, cool. Turn around and look at those three kids over there. Don't be friends with them. I literally said, don't be friends with them because they don't care about you. They don't care about their school. They don't care about anything. They're just selfish. And it's like, I'm not kidding. I had like teachers stand up and like start to stare at me. And one of them goes, don't be hating. As soon as it came out, like as soon as the words came out, I was like, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And they just kept going. I can laugh at it now. And I did apologize to those students later. And my friend jumped in and saved the day. Thank God. But here's the thing is that I was reactive. I was so upset. I let them get to me. And here I am supposed to be the professional in the room, right? I'm supposed to be leading this group of 200 kids through a journey and exploration. And these kids just didn't want to go. And I needed to take responsibility for my actions and the consequences that my actions caused as well. And so I apologized. I tried to make it right. There's no really coming back from that because I was all about kindness and taking care of people. And I didn't take care of them. And that's really what they needed. They were just looking for attention in the wrong way. And as I got older and better at my job, I can now look back at that as an experience where if somebody's really pushing boundaries and pushing back on kindness and taking care of people, I don't have a public conversation with anymore. I just go up to the side and I ask them, is this the place where you want to be right now? And I don't make a spectacle out of it. And that was a learning experience that I regret that it happened. I regret the things that I said because I know that it was stupid. It was dumb and I was just young. But at the same time, it was something that I learned at and it taught me so much about how do I deal with people who are really challenging, who don't want to be there, who don't want to get on board. What can you do? And so it's applied to leadership and to presenting and facilitating for the rest of my career. Now it's like, okay, cool. If you don't want to be here, that's no skin off my nose. Great. We can find someplace else for you. And that just makes it easier on everybody, including them. And there's no embarrassment. It's not personal. I don't take it personal anymore. It's now just this is a fact of life. Some people are not going to want to get on board with what we're doing. And that's okay. And I become okay with that. So I regret that I said the things that I did. And I'm also grateful for that learning opportunity. And so there you go.
So one step further into the story, what did your apology look like? I mean, it was a while back. No, so best of your ability, how did you apologize?
I apologized publicly to them in front of the group at the end of the day. I actually said, hey, guys, I'm really sorry. I was just having a really hard time with the activities, the things that you were showing us throughout the day. Just really said that you didn't want to be here. And I don't know if that's personal. I don't know what that is, but I want to apologize for calling you out the way I did. And then I also apologized to the staff as well. And they were like, oh yeah, those kids are total jerks. We don't like them at all either. And I was like, oh, thanks. Well, I still felt bad about it because I know sure. that everybody's going through something personal all the time. We just don't know what it is. And I know that they were probably dealing with some pretty tough stuff because it was a real tough part of the country. So learning experience.
Cool. That's awesome. I like that you said publicly and openly, right? You just, yeah, I screwed up. You can't go back and undo it, but here's what I can do moving forward. So very cool. All right, friends, who has the next regret on deck? Myra, please. Yes, in the white vest.
Well, one of my biggest regrets in life is going to sound a little facetious, but it was sitting next to Captain America on a long flight and not talking to him until the last 5 minutes of the flight and not realizing who it was. Looking back, I would have loved to have just had a conversation with him because he was a real person and he kept trying to engage and I kept like, you're a stranger, leave me alone. And I regret that. But what I regret more is the reason I did that. The reason I did that was reactive rather than responsive. And which leads me to several mistakes that I made. And I also learned not to shame myself for regrets, not to chew on them and not to beat myself up for them, but to learn from them. And my biggest faux pas, my biggest trip, whatever, was not having the skills necessary to keep my team together. And when it all fell apart and I was in the basement, I couldn't have got any lower. And which brings to mind, you can learn more in rock bottom than mountaintops will ever teach you. And indeed I did, but I learned that reactive is about you. Responsive is about them. That was a huge, huge change in my career, in my leadership ability, is when I stopped focusing on how I felt, on what I was doing, what I deserved, and started focusing on what they needed to do their best and listening to them rather than defending myself. It's a regret that I didn't know that before. And let me tell you, I had plenty of opportunities to learn. And I just never hit until I was literally at the bottom.
So I need to ask a question or maybe two, because for those of you who follow us, I think you might know that Myra famously did not watch movies. How in the world did you know you were sitting next to Captain America? That could have just been anybody. Maybe some guy just said, I'm Captain America.
That's awesome.
He told me. I mean, when I got in the safe zone of the last 5 minutes, when you're taxiing into that, and he told me who he was because I asked him. And then I looked it up later, and sure enough, that's who it was. And it was like, can I kick myself? I'm the most unimpressed person in the world with somebody that is a rock star.
Movie
what
star.
Hit me is... He was so nice. He was so polite. He wasn't doing anything scary. I was just looking out for me as a lonely woman traveler, which is, you're in the airplane. What are they going to do?
You couldn't tell it was Captain America. I mean, he was wearing that tight blue suit and had that big shield with the star on it. I mean, what was your first clue?
He looked like a regular person and acted like a regular person. Mm-hmm. I could have been talking to you guys.
Captain America.
She said we look like Captain America.
We look like Captain America. She said that. It's on recording.
So anyway, that overall takeaway is use your regrets to forward, not to hold you back.
Mm-hmm. And if you are a single woman traveling by plane and you sit next to Chris Evans, he's a decent guy for a chat. That's the moral of that story too.
And I'll never see him again, I'm sure. And he wouldn't remember me either, but obviously I didn't talk to him.
Why was Captain America flying coach? That's what I want to know.
He wasn't. I was in first class.
And
it was right up in front of first class. So it's interesting. The stewardess and stuff didn't treat him any differently than they treated me.
That's probably not their first celebrity either. So
I'm sure. And they were probably going like, lady, don't you know who you're sitting by? Anyway,
when they kept coming by and looking at you like, look.
Yeah. You could have been squeezing his biceps, man.
Are those real? At that point in the show, we need another Jeff. I read a guy. What story do you have to share?
Okay, I'll go. I was thinking about this. I've thought about it a lot because I've met people over my career, Sam, that would say, I live a life of no regrets. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, man, that's what I want to do too. And then I think, No, that can't be, because there's only one guy that's ever been on the planet that did everything perfectly.
Thank you.
Depending upon how you believe. And yeah, it's Mr. Jeff Conroy. Ladies and gentlemen, my good buddy. Depending upon what you believe. The rest of us are human beings, right? And we've made mistakes, most certainly. And so we regret those mistakes, I think, at least some of them. Right. Some, I suppose, we don't even care that we made them. In fact, there's probably even some still that we make them on purpose. But regrets, and I'm talking about regret as a noun, and I looked it up because a regret can be a verb too, right? Like, I regret my mistakes. That's an action. But as a noun, that can be defined as sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond one's control or beyond the power to repair. Mm-hmm. And that for me is where I've landed, that I am living a life of no regrets. Are there things, do I have sorrow because of circumstances, because of things that happened or things I said or didn't say or did or didn't do? And the answer is absolutely yes. But I don't carry them with me because I don't have the power to repair them. Mm-hmm. None of us do. We can, in Geoff's example, you can make the apology. And the truth is, we don't know whether those kids accepted that apology really or not, or did it impact them, those kind of things. So we don't really have the power to repair it. And therefore, we have to leave it. It has to be part of our past. So in that sense, I am living a life of no regret. But here's the kicker. Those things that don't go the way I wanted them to go, those circumstances that I wished I would be different, I can learn and have learned from them. It's the whole thing about, okay, that didn't go very well, or that was a problem, or that was a mistake, or here's an issue. Okay, then the answer is, great, what did you learn from it? And then the next step after that is, how have you applied what you've learned? And so in that sense, I am living a life of no regrets. There's things I wish I would have done differently. But here's the thing. I have learned from every single one, and I've applied what I've learned from those things going forward. Am I going to make more mistakes that I wish wouldn't happen? And yes, absolutely. I'm still a human being. But I'm learning and growing and every day working more and more towards my full potential and who I'm created to be.
Mm-hmm. Geyer, if we're out here swinging hammers, you hit the nail on the head, because that encapsulated so many components of regret. And the most specific one is dealing with it. because we can act like it never happened and it's going to take up space in our brain forever. Or we could ruminate on it and always wish we would have and never resolve the fact that we can't, right? So we can only figure out how to move forward effectively.
That's a great point, Dr. Sam. My experience, and I think I'm not unique necessarily, that the regret might be a little tiny thing, but the longer you hold it, the heavier it gets. And pretty soon it'll be so heavy that you can't carry it any longer. And then something really bad is going to happen.
Right. In part because those regrets we hold on to, we stop seeing them as errors and start seeing them as character flaws.
Yes.
So I was a person who made a mistake. I'm a bad person who does bad things.
There you go. Right. You got it. Yep.
Conroy.
No, I was going to say a lot of what Geyer is going to say, but he said it much more eloquently than I could have. I've made mistakes. I have made a ton of mistakes, but I see those as growth moments for me.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I did this. I don't ever want to do it again. I feel bad about it. How do I learn from it? I mean, I go way back to I've talked about this. The first time I became a leader, you lead the way you've been led. My dad was top-down hierarchical. I felt that I needed to be a top-down hierarchical leader. When my team wasn't performing the way I wanted them to, I had temper issues. And that just alienates you even more. And it really took that moment of stopping, stepping back, analyzing, assessing where you're at, you reinvent yourself. And I'm no different. That's when I learned about servant leadership. And that's when I learned about leading others who don't know they're being led and serving others. And because to me, a top-down hierarchical leader was not really deep down in my bones who I was. It's just what I experienced. It's part of my own personal leadership journey to educate myself and to learn and to become a sponge of learning other people's ways of doing things. That's just one example. I have made mistakes. I've soul searched on them. And then how do I get better from that? And I think any good leader will look at their life journey and assess the bumps in the road, because no leadership journey, no life journey is smooth and easy. If it is, then you're lying to yourself. To look at those things that have happened to you and say, yeah, that didn't go the way I wanted, or damn, how did that happen? Or God, why did I do that? It's really more self-reflection than anything else. And you always got to be constantly growing. That's just my ramblings. But Geyer said it so much more eloquently. I agree. It's things that you can't change. Now, you can always change. Mm-hmm. You can always change.
Those are kind words, Conroy, and I agree. I don't know about you listening to this, but I can feel the authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. Just in Conroy's voice, man. Thanks for being authentic and sharing part of that story. That's awesome. And here's the thing. The key is, what did we learn? And then how are we going to apply what we've learned?
Yeah. How do you change?
How you change in it? And it doesn't go back and listen to episodes. We talked about small incremental changes. And I agree with you, Conroy, when you talk about reinventing yourself, it's not a wholesale real reinvention. It's a small reinvention in a piece that you're trying to get better at.
Tweaks.
Yeah. Oh, that means I'm a tweaker. No, wait, no, that's a different thing.
That's a different episode.
That's twerk, not
tweak.
There we go.
Can you twerk? I'm bad. Twerking tweakers.
There's just one thing I'd like to throw in before we wrap this up is I think there's two kinds of regrets. The kind that we fall down and we pick ourselves back up again and we didn't like that we made the mistake and we go forward. The worst kind for me has been the kind where I've hurt other people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Other people's lives were disrupted or turned upside down because of my bad choices. And those, I think, are the hardest to reconcile as we try to pick ourselves up, because we can't undo the hurt and the pain. We just can't. But we can do what we can. And I think that's the important part, is to, like Geoff said, was apologize, do it publicly, or do what you can to make it better, although it'll never be fixed. It's like a crack pot. The crack is always going to be there. Yeah, we can still learn from it. But I just wanted to put that in there because those are the tough regrets and the ones that we will beat ourselves up over more, I think, than anything is when we've hurt other people. And maybe we popped off, or maybe it was worse than that. But those people's lives were interrupted or turned upside down because of our bad judgment call. And I think those are the toughest ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to that point, again, using Van Pien's work, there's four core types of regret. Foundational, which is maybe I should have gotten a different job, should have done a different degree, that kind of thing. Boldness, which is generally the failure to speak up or speak out or step up or step out. Moral, which is like you were discussing, Myra, making the call that is probably counter to your own values. And then connection. Do we lose connection with people that we should be connected with? And being humans, we want that connection. So it's usually a drift, right? You just go apart, or was there something that happened? And some of these are correctable, some aren't. You have a drift in a relationship and somebody passes on, or maybe works in a different space, and now there's no way to reconnect that. But to your point, the biggest phrase that came up in their research was people regret, and they say the phrase, not being true to myself. So when we hurt somebody else, yeah, it affects them, but we know we're not doing the right thing by our own standards, right? So there's plenty of opportunity to beat ourselves up about this, getting the self-flagellation of wish I wouldn't, and I don't have a DeLorean to get me back and change it. So as you guys described in different ways, resolving the regret requires some reflection, examination. I think Tongra even said analysis, and learn from it and then do better next time. That's all you can do, right? It's how you improve. So no regrets is no rumination. Learn and move on. But don't give yourself a pass in the sense that, oh, well, I screwed that up. Can't do anything about it. No. Mm-hmm. What do you learn? How do you do better next time, right? So we are getting close to time, I believe. Friends, what else do you have to add as final parting thoughts?
How important it is to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. As important it is to forgive others, you've got to forgive yourself and let go.
Yep. I agree with that.
I don't think I can add anything to that. That's a, said it, Dr. Stam. Learn from it. Move on. Try not to do it again and forgive yourself. You get accept your responsibility and then move forward. That's the only thing you can do because time isn't going to stop. Everything's going to keep going anyway. Might as well get on board.
I throw out, Sam, that and I agree with that total forgiveness of yourself. And you know, the converse side of that is true too. Forgive people that have hurt you. I mean, whether they've apologized to you or not, you can't carry that big weight around with you either. But for me, of the four pillars you were talking about from the book, the connection with other people, I really do believe most of us were created as relational beings. There are some people I've tried to connect with and you just can't. And it's the proverbial pound in the square peg in a round hole kind of thing. You're just not going to connect with them. Doesn't matter. And that's fine. There's millions and millions and millions of people in the world. You can go connect with somebody else. But for me, it's not so much I wished I wouldn't have done it. My mindset is I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to learn and I get the opportunity to apply what I've learned so that I can be better. And I know because of that, that I will make connections with people that I otherwise wouldn't have because I'm carrying this knowledge and experience with me into the future. So yeah, I don't have any regrets. I wish some things were different, but I don't regret it, any of it.
Mm-hmm. Ditto.
Very good.
It made me who I am.
As you are,
it made me who I am. I mean,
there you go.
I mean, yeah. The experience, it made me who I am right now. I wouldn't be sitting here with the four of you guys if I hadn't done some of the stupid stuff I've done in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and soon to be 50s.
Right. So to that point, I don't mean to belabor the topic, but that phrasing used to get under my skin a lot. Mostly you'd see like celebrities on an interview and they would ask them, do you have any regrets? Well, no, I like myself. I like who I am today, so I don't have any regrets. And I would dismiss that as, then you're not being reflective. Yeah. But if I'm being fair to them, maybe that's why they don't have them, just as you described. They did the work, they did the reflection. Just because I ended up being famous, wealthy, whatever, it doesn't mean I made it right. But let's hope and assume that the resolution actually exists. And also, I was able to move forward in a meaningful way.
There you go.
So when you're leading your teams and your companies, as it might be, yeah, you can have those things you wish you would have done differently. Learn, adjust, move. That doesn't mean that you have to constantly be the person who made that mistake. Yeah, it happened. And you adjusted and you can move off from there.
If you erase all your mistakes, you would erase yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're much of your knowledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you make the mistake again.
There's no easy way to learn. It's all heart. Mm-hmm. So if somebody can show me an easy way, I'll be the first one there. So it's all heart. Learning is hard.
For sure. So as you are continually coming back to the No More Leadership BS team, we thank you very much. And please do this in a safe space. If you're driving, don't do it while you're driving. This is Bad News Bears. But when you're in a safe place to do so, look at our show notes. We have our text number in there. Text us at 986-213-0621. Why am I telling you and also telling you to look? Because it's multimodal. We do things in many different ways. Also in that notes, we have our social media. And of course, as long as you're there, you may as well plop us a 5-star review and tell us what you like. Reach out to us, let us know what's going on, and we'll hopefully use your topic on an upcoming show. And for Geoff, Jeff, and Myra, I'm Dr. Sam. We are the No More Leadership BS team. Listen to us next week. Bye.
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 See you later. Bye.